Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Love Your Truth podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jen Chrisman, and I am so glad to be here and that you're here as well. I have been on a little bit of a hiatus, just a small break. I needed some integration time after returning from the Sedona retreat, which was absolutely incredible and also really informative for me as far as my work and what I'm doing, and kind of inspiring a little bit around what we're going to be talking about on today's episode. You know, it's a funny thing, these retreats. And when we got there, I found myself in a really heightened state of anxiety. I mean, it's the simplest word that we can use, but I was realizing that my distress was coming from this place within me that was feeling really uncomfortable as the facilitator. And, you know, facilitator is a role that I play in so much of my life, and this isn't the first time I've hosted retreats. However, I was aware, like my awareness was heightened, and I think it was heightened because of some of the other things that have been going on. But I was really aware that I was wanting to interrupt the tendency that we have to look to others to create an experience within ourselves. And, you know, a retreat is a funny thing, right? Because people are investing. You're paying money for an experience. And my job as the facilitator is to organize the different pieces of the experience. However, it's important to make note that it's not actually my job and my responsibility to foster that experience within another person, right? There's a reciprocal relationship that happens where I, in my role as facilitator, whether it's on a retreat or it's in one of my group programs or it's in the one-to-one work, I have a certain amount of responsibility to support the structure in the container. And then the person on the other side, whether it's a retreat attendee or client or participant in the group programs, they have a responsibility to come in to create a certain experience. And together, we co-create what happens. And that to me feels really, really important. And when we got to Sedona, before anybody even got there, I was aware of, and I was, you know, kind of tuning into myself, that there was something that felt out of balance. And that was what was creating the anxiety, was that I was taking on too much responsibility, too much. I was carrying too much of the weight to be where the experience would come from, right? Again, it's a very fine distinction that we have to make of, you know, my part is not actually, like, I'm not creating the experience, right? I'm helping to build a container where people can come in and create their own experiences. And that is something that feels so important to me. And I have really been sitting for the last month with my thoughts and my, you know, going inward and looking at my value system around this. And this has been brewing for quite some time, actually, because I have seen for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years that I've been in the coaching and personal development world, that there's a lot of shadow in this space. And it's not just coaching and personal development, right? Like everything has a shadow. There's nothing in this life, in the world, in the universe that doesn't have both light and shadow. And when I was a therapist, I saw it as well. I even remember being in grad school and sitting there and thinking, you know, the amount of narcissism that is actually required, right? I say that not with a judgment, not a pathological narcissism, but for anybody to go into this field, to become a therapist, to become a coach, to become a healer, to become a leader, there is a certain amount of narcissism that is required to simply think, I can help someone else. And again, like not in a, this isn't a judgmental thing. This isn't a bad thing. Like it's necessary. We have to be able to see that we have something of value that we can offer. And when that's not in check, when it's not acknowledged, when it's not worked with fully, it can become unhealthy. And it can lead to toxic traits. And it can be, you know, contributing to kind of what I've been seeing in the personal development world. And it's been something that's been so heavy on my heart for so long. And I've been really talking about it. And it's why I was so passionate about creating a coaching certification program, which I don't talk a lot about, but for the last, it's been 3 years. I've been, you know, in partnership with one of my best friends. We've been running a life coaching certification. She was already doing it. And I kind of came in and because it was something I really wanted to do. And I helped her refine the program and became a co-facilitator for it. And I'm deeply, deeply passionate about how important I think it is for coaches, for healers, for anybody that is taking on any sort of a role to support another, that they're properly trained. Because the reality is, any single person can decide tomorrow, I want to be a life coach. And you can be. And this is amazing. Like there's no barrier of entrance to this world. And that's one of the most beautiful qualities and aspects of this profession, and I think why it's become so popular. But with that also comes the aspect that there's no regulation. You know, in order for me to become a psychologist, I had to go through, you know, had to get my undergrad degree and then go apply to graduate programs. I spent 4 years in a graduate program, earning a doctorate. While I was in my graduate program, I had 3 years in three different clinical placements where I was in rotations and being supervised for the work that I was doing, seeing clients. Once I graduated from my program, I had another, for me it was 1 year, some people take longer, but it's 1,500 hours that I needed to acquire that were supervised hours of clinical work. So that was a year of working full time, seeing clients and having my work and my process supervised. Before then, I was, once that happened, then I had to take 2 tests to earn my license. And, you know, one is a national test, one that everybody in the country takes. And then the other one was a state specific test, right? So we're talking like a 10-year process in order for me to then walk out into the world and say, yeah, I'm ready to ethically and effectively support people in this practice. And that's very different than a life coach. And this isn't to knock life coaching in any way. I love it, right? I no longer practice therapy. I am no longer a licensed clinical psychologist. I am only practicing in the field of coaching. And I feel really, really strongly that we have an ethical responsibility as coaches to make sure that we are receiving the proper education, training, developing certain skills, as well as seeking mentorship. Something again that is, you know, it really concerns me how many people call themselves coaches who don't have their own coach, who don't have their own teacher, who don't have their own mentor. You know, I don't think that you have to go through a certification program. I don't think a certification is what makes someone qualified. I do think it's a really good idea, though, because I do think that it's important that we have a foundation of knowledge, an understanding of the process behind the human experience. And maybe you don't have a certification, maybe you're studying, maybe you're taking classes, maybe you're doing workshops. These are necessary, along with proper mentorship and guidance. Having a space where you can talk about the work that you're doing and receive feedback on that work to make sure that it's, for lack of a better word, to make sure it's clean, to make sure that you are practicing from a space that is in integrity. Because I'm seeing a lot out there right now that's lacking integrity. And more than ever, discernment is feeling so important to talk about. And, you know, I'll share some things that have really kind of like got these wheels spinning. Like I said, I've been seeing this for years, which is why it was so important to me and why I was so passionate about starting a coaching certification program. And truth be told, that's my most favorite thing that I do. I absolutely love, 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 love the process of the developing coach and all of the, you know, all of the beauty and the healing and what can come when someone really dedicates themselves to not just doing the work, but being the work. So again, it's been something on my heart for a while. And then I don't know, it's like, tell me, like, if this is your experience, like, reach out to me, let me know, send me a message on Instagram, because I'm so curious if, like, am I just like really sensitive here and like seeing it, or is there something that's happening? I know I'm not alone in this, but I'd love to hear from you if you've had this experience too. But I've had to unfollow quite a few people on social media because I found myself in a place where I was like really judgmental of some of the things that I was seeing. And this was amplified a few months ago. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I'll share with you what happened. This one of those coaches that I follow, who I've never met her in person, but we're in the same circles. We have mutual friends. And, you know, wouldn't surprise me if our paths did cross at some point. They just haven't yet. But I saw her, you know, and I'd already been sort of, you know, there'd been some practices that, you know, just ways of showing up that I was like, okay, like, that's not for me. And, you know, but also willing to look and say, okay, what's the mirror here? You know, Jen, what is she showing you? You know, and a lot of it I could see, I was like, you know, she has this like huge following, and, you know, some of my feelings around, you know, my own relationship with social media and all of that. And so I'm willing to look at my part in this. But I'd been already a little bit like, I don't know, cringing, a little bit cringy when I watched some of the stuff. And then she was hosting a retreat and filming and sharing on social media a lot of the behind the scenes of the retreat, which I understand. There is, you know, from a business perspective, you want people to see the magic of what's happening. And I'm sure that all of the participants gave their permission to be filmed and shared. But a lot of what I was seeing felt really, it didn't feel appropriate for me to be watching it on social media. It felt like it had the potential to be some really powerful work and some really vulnerable practices that these women were participating in. And so out the gates, I was uncomfortable. I just felt like they're, you know, not a judging of the work itself, but I don't believe that all of our work needs to be seen. I think that a lot of what we do is incredibly sacred and deserves to be treated with the sacredness that it is, which means not everybody is privileged enough to have access to that. But again, like willing to consider that this is mine, right? This is my personal belief. And, you know, who am I to say that couldn't be incredibly healing for another person? Right, the person on the other end who's going through this, maybe it's the most, you know, freeing experience she's ever had in her life, and that's the healing that she needs, is to be able to be fully seen and fully witnessed by, you know, a world of strangers and not care about other people seeing all of these aspects of herself. Right, so I'm going through this, and I'm like talking myself through my, you know, some of my reactions that I'm having to what I'm seeing. And then there was a situation where a lot of the work that they were doing was in expressing their feminine and their sexuality. And I'm gonna, I think next week you'll hear from one dear friend of mine, who's a sex coach, and she's all about supporting women and expressing their sexuality. And so, again, you know, my issue doesn't come from what the work is. My issue comes with how the work is being done. And so, you know, these women are on a boat, and they were like dancing and shaking and twerking and like all of these things, like, okay, cool, like, you know, share it, express it. And it started getting very, very sexual as they were pulling into like the harbor or whatever it might be, like not just on the open seas with just them, but now they're out in public. And they were out in public, and there were small children around. And it was very hard for me to watch this on social media. And then the coach, who, like, she spoke to it, and she made a very like disparaging comment towards one of the moms who was walking with her daughter. And she called this mom a Karen because the mom like covered her daughter's eyes. And this was a little girl, you know, 4 or 5 years old. And, you know, when I saw that, I was like, this is my cue to unfollow, because this is concerning me. And again, I hold the place that it's not my place to tell anybody else what is right and wrong in their life. It is, however, important for me to honor what feels in alignment and in integrity. And, you know, the way that I work and the perception that I have about this work is that we always have to take into consideration the ethics and what we call the ecology for all. Ecology is really like, is this in the best interest of everybody? And, you know, this coach kind of made a comment about, like, you know, to this mom who she's calling a Karen about how, you know, in 20 years she'll see her daughter in one of her programs. And I realized in that moment, you know, how unintegrated this work actually is, right? Because again, it's not about, you know, what she is doing is wrong. It's about recognizing time, place, ethical considerations of all parties, right? The clients, the coach, the family members, the strangers that are walking on the street that are witnessing this. And, you know, as a mother to a young daughter, I was really, you know, I had some really strong feelings about what I was seeing, and that, you know, my daughter, I'm, you know, this isn't about shaming the feminine, and this isn't about shaming sexuality, but this is about recognizing developmental appropriateness, and that it is actually not in a child's best interest to be exposed to over-sexualization and concepts that they're not developmentally at the stage of comprehending yet. And so again, it's about, you know, how, you know, finding this balance as we navigate this world of personal development and we navigate healing and we're looking to a quote unquote leader. And, you know, exploring how integrated is this person. And, you know, I think it would be hard pressed to find, you know, to find someone who would really condone that type of work in that capacity, right? With small children around witnessing it, seeing it. It's not that it's wrong. It's not that it's bad. It's that, you know, we all make mistakes. Every single one of us. I will like stand up, you know, first person to get in line and say, you know, I've made big mistakes with my clients before. I've done things with my clients that I look back on and I'm cringing and like, oh God, I can't believe I did that. And the important thing is that we have to be willing to acknowledge. And we have to be willing to have our work looked at and be given feedback on. And if we can't, then there's a really good chance we're leading from wounding, which is what is seeming to be happening so much in the personal development world right now. Right? There's so many, you know, we call them like wounded healers. I remember even when I was in grad school, like really identifying with that title, the wounded healer. And there's this part for a lot of us, I think we go into this field thinking that I'm going to heal myself by healing others. And a big part of the wounding that we see around this world and leaders is this, you know, the ego's desire to be the person who knows the most, to be the person who makes the biggest impact, to be the person who attracts the most attention. And so, you know, I'm just like, in this place right now, I'm like seeing it everywhere. And then on top of it, I don't know how many of you, I'm curious, have you watched this documentary that I believe it's on Hulu? It's the Teal Swan documentary. And that one really sent me into a tailspin, let me tell you. because this, you know, she's a self-proclaimed spiritual teacher and a guru and a leader. And this documentary really, she doesn't look good in it. And she doesn't make the industry look good. And it really highlights, you know, the world of coaching, personal development. You know, it attracts people who might already be more vulnerable. And, you know, because people are looking for guidance, they're looking for help. And if we as coaches, like, this conversation is really for both sides, right? It's for the coach to be in integrity around your own understanding of where are you leading from? Where is your work coming from? What is the actual motivation of your work? And this conversation is also for you, the client. As you're going through this process, how do you use discernment to find yourself in this coaching relationship? How do you approach the coaching relationship as an equal, as a co-creator, as a partner, rather than giving all of your power over to the coach? Because there are a lot of people out there. Now, I don't believe this is with ill intention. I don't believe that this is, you know, if you watch the Teal Swan documentary, you know, we might argue that there's an aspect of it that feels sociopathic. I don't think most of us have that. I don't think it's ill intentioned. I think people genuinely, genuinely want to do the best that they can, and they want to make an impact on the world. And a lot of people want to make that impact because they're trying to heal a part of themselves that needs to feel like they matter, that needs to feel like they're important, that's trying to prove something to the world. And so, you know, for those of you who are coaches, I invite you to explore this within yourself, because I don't think any of us are immune to it, right? We are all humans. We all have this basic human need to feel like we matter. That in and of itself is not the problem. But when we don't look at that, when we don't tend to that need within ourselves, we can mistakenly end up leading from that place, right? Our motivation, it can be a bit self-serving. And we don't even realize it, right? Because it's hiding behind this veil of service. It's hiding behind this veil of, let me be a value to the world. You know, this work is incredibly nuanced. And that's why it's so important for all of us that we have the people in our lives that we trust. That we trust or we can go to, and they can give us honest feedback. And again, not honest feedback that is like, let me like continue to show you how wounded you are and therefore cultivate the sense of codependency and why you need me. Because that's another aspect of, you know, the shadow side of personal development, and what I'm seeing in the coaching world is that there's so much fostering of independence, or I'm sorry, codependence, right? There's so much emphasis on your woundedness that it, you know, creates this cycle where you're constantly needing your coach because you're so wounded, right? And what I'm inviting here is the conversation of integrity and transparency and clarity within ourselves, about our motivations, about our desires, and making sure that we are running everything through our own filter. How does this feel for me? Everyone and their mother might think this is amazing, or this person is amazing, or this thing was so great, but something about it doesn't feel quite right. Can I trust that? How can I honor that? How can I explore? Like, it's possible that's a limiting belief, or, you know, some part of you playing a trick so that you reject it, or it's your intuition. Can you trust it? Right? So there's a lot here. I just have so many feelings about what's happening right now. I feel so incredibly passionate about ensuring the integrity of the work. And as I say that, I recognize that integrity can mean a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And what is in integrity for me may or may not be in integrity for somebody else, and vice versa. Right? What I'm seeing from someone else and they're like, yep, I'm an integrity, I can look and say, wow, that's like not in integrity for me. So, you know, as we navigate this world right now, and, you know, the coaching industry, it's a multi-billion dollar industry and it's not going anywhere. But there's a pendulum swing that's happening. And I make this, you know, I talk about this process in so many areas of life, like every area of life. What happens is when we're in one end of an extreme for a certain amount of time, right? For right now, the coaching industry, the personal development industry, this online, you know, space that we've been in for the last, like, you know, 5 or 6 years has been really idealized and kind of like on this high bubble, and all of these bells and whistles and flashy lights and all of the seduction of it. That pendulum is swinging, right? And now we're kind of on another side of it. And again, I'm so curious. I really, like, please message me and let me know if this is your experience as well. But it feels to me like the pendulum has swung and now we're like all shadow. And there's, you know, a lot of us are jaded and we see the ads on Facebook and we're like, bleh. And, you know, everyone's content is like cringy and, you know, and we're like seeing shadow. People are revealing themselves to us. So the pendulum has swung from one extreme to another. But what's beautiful is that when the pendulum swings, right? The extreme feels really drastic in the beginning, but then, you know, it kind of sways back and forth a little bit until it finds its balanced place in the middle. Right? The coaching and personal development industry isn't going anywhere. It's only going to continue to grow, but I actually believe, and I really do have hope, that it's going to continue to grow in a direction that feels so much better for so many people, because, you know, the shadow is being revealed. You know, there's a refinement that's happening. And I think that there is a call at the collective for more honesty, more transparency, more integrity in this journey. So, you know, just bringing it back to self constantly. And as you walk this path, again, either as the coach or as the client, continuing to bring it back and just asking ourselves, you know, first and foremost, what does it mean to be integrity for me? And then second, am I in integrity? Am I in integrity right now? And if you really want to mess yourself up, I invite you to watch the documentary. It's a little bit of it's hard to watch. And, you know, it kind of breaks my heart a little bit because there are, I think, already so many you know, skeptics and you know, people that have been so hurt and they're just so closed off, and you see things like this and it's like another nail in the coffin. But again, I have hope, because I really do believe that, you know, as a whole, as a collective, we're being called to a deeper sense of, you know, leading from within, turning our attention and our focus from outside of ourselves into, you know, finding the truth, the capital T truth, finding our true source of power, and doing so with compassion and with grace and with kindness. And you know, with all of the shadow that's there, I have such a deep sense of hope and faith for what is possible. And, you know, again, more than ever, why it's so important that, you know, more people are stepping up within themselves, right? I shared this on Instagram the other day, yesterday, like, we don't need more leaders leading others. We really don't. Like, we have enough of that. We need more people powerfully leading themselves, because I do believe it's possible to forge a new way in this world. And it's not by being the guru. It is not by, you know, standing on the mountaintop and proclaiming to the world everything that you've learned and follow me. It's, again, it's being the work rather than doing the work, right? When you're being the work and you are living your life embodied in your own healing, you don't have to tell anybody that you're a leader, because you just are, right? When you know, I'm thinking about my daughter right now, you know, and the, you know, the magic of why I do this work is so that I can, you know, I can sit on the couch with her at night after we eat dinner and just snuggle her and hold her and tell her how much I love her, and we can laugh together and she can be my best friend. Right? Or my son, who he's, you know, getting to be a preteen now, and, you know, we can hang out in his bedroom and talk about, you know, what's happening at school, and he can, you know, tell me about the tea. You know, that's why we do this. That is the impact that, for me personally, I desire to have. Right? It's walking into a space with a group of people that I love and not having to be the smartest person in the room, right? Even though I might be the one facilitating the experience, the retreat or the event, you know, I get to sit with a smile on my face and my heart full of love, right? Because I'm walking this path as well. Right? That to me is what I, you know, my hope for this world is that we learn to embody that feeling within ourselves, regardless of the acknowledgement or the recognition or who sees us as what. So that's what I have for you. It may have been a little bit tangential, may have been a little bit all over the place. I hope it made sense. Again, I've said this a few times. I really do want to hear from you. This is something, it's been like so present on my mind that I'm really, really curious. And I've been talking with a few friends about it. And, you know, Matt, I forced Matt to watch it with me. And, you know, he can't even really tolerate looking at it. Or he kind of just, you know, he's really good at compartmentalizing. And like, whereas I'm a little bit more of a feeler. And so I tend to, you know, kind of like hold on and perseverate and like look and all of that. But yeah, I would love to know if this is something that has been present and on your heart as well. And if this was helpful in any way too. So, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. One final thing too, actually, part of the retreat that I've been in within myself since coming back from Sedona has been in a very creative space. And as I'm getting ready to relaunch the coaching certification program, I'm actually doing it on my own for the very first time and launching the first cohort is going to start in the fall, September of this year, 2022. And so I've been having so much fun in the creative process for my, you know, developing things for my coaches. And I have a really fun little quiz if you're interested in finding your coaching personality. And when you take this quiz, I'll put the link in the show notes for you. You'll get a little PDF that has the strengths as well as the areas of consideration. So I've identified there are five different coaching styles, five different coaching personalities, and each one of them brings with it their gifts, right? What makes this type of coaching so supportive and so helpful? And also, when you are this type of coach or this is your coaching personality, like you're going to have some blind spots. And here are the blind spots to look at and how to work with them. So if you're a coach and you're interested in discovering what your coaching personality is, I invite you to take that. It's super fun. I had so much fun creating it. And again, I'll put the link in the show notes. And thank you so much for being here. I'll see you in our next episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Love Your Truth podcast. Now I have a favor to ask of you. If you found any value whatsoever in this episode, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would share it with someone else, someone who you think might benefit from hearing anything that was shared in here, or if you feel so inclined, go ahead and leave a review. Reviews do so much to support the message and to support getting this out into the hands of others who need to hear what's being talked about. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for choosing to spend your time, and I will look forward to seeing you in our next episode.